Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Happy Canada Day, dude.
And to you, dude.
It's, I guess, post-Canada Day, as we're recording on July 2nd, but Canada Day, yesterday, Sunday, July 1st, not just a holiday in Canada, but also one of the most important days for NHL fans and players and GMs and owners. It's the first day of free agency, baby.
It's a fun time of year. You get to see, I have two full pages of printouts of all the players moving hither and yon, to and fro. Petteri Nokelainen re-signing with Montreal. Oh. Be still, my beating heart. Dude, my first question to you is, how are we going to celebrate the start of the Bracken Kearns era of Sharks history?
By having a delicious Blue Moon summer honey wheat. This podcast brought to you by
Blue Moon. We're not giving away free advertising here.
All right. Well, dude, that's how I'm celebrating, dude.
We are offering live reads to those that want us to do it.
I'm excited.
Hemorrhoids giving you trouble?
I'm more excited about the John Matsumoto era.
Are you now?
And the Danny Grew era. Doug Wilson, very busy today.
Yes.
On July 2nd, making sure the Worcester Sharks cupboard is fully stocked.
Well, yeah, I know that our friends that we follow on Twitter, Daryl Hunt, John Allred, and others, have had quite pointed barbs pointed at Sharks management, saying that the Worcester Sharks are not being taken care of. I'm interested to read their reactions to these trades. It seems like maybe
so far they're, I'm just looking at Twitter before we started recording, very favorable. I mean, okay. They seem to both be very excited about the additions of three guys who are AHL veterans. They're not going to be on the Sharks at any point during the year, but you know, these guys are accomplished AHL players who can make an impact, but let's not talk about minor league hockey here, dude.
Yeah, there's so much NHL news to talk about. I guess we should really start off with the major signing and non-signing of July 1st, maybe flip sides of the coin. Should we start with the good news, dude, or the bad news?
I guess let's start with the bad news.
The bad news is that Doug Wilson has basically said that the Sharks will not be pursuing Daniel Winnick, which is a move that I just flat out do not understand. Can you help me try and wrap my mind around what's going on here? What could be the possible reason behind this lack of effort?
I can only think of one explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that Daniel Winnick doesn't want to play in San Jose. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think. I mean, it takes two to tango here, right?
Right, like, sure.
You know, the Sharks can offer Daniel Winnick a contract, he could say no.
Of course.
I just can't imagine, and it's certainly not Doug Wilson's typical MO to pull a trigger on a deal, especially an expensive one, mm-hmm. where he gave up a guy who's probably going to be a very solid NHL player in Jamie McGinn, you know,
mm-hmm.
and two forward prospects, which the Sharks are very thin on, in order to get Daniel Winnick and TJ Gagliardi, who, you know, is probably, you know, of the three NHL players, is the biggest question mark in that deal.
Yep, yep.
I mean, you would never trade McGinn for Gagliardi. You'd never do that. And essentially, that's what's happened here, because Winnick appears to be gone. And, you know, Winnick being here for, I don't know, 8 weeks, 6 weeks, playing the passive PK, maybe he didn't have a good experience. Maybe he doesn't like the West Coast. I don't know, but for some reason,
I mean, he played in Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't know. Some reason he's apparently not coming back now. Winnick has not signed a contract anywhere else.
That's true.
And this could just be posturing. I mean, it's not impossible that the Sharks will circle back here. As a baseball fan, I saw this, you know, I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago with the Giants and their catcher, Benji Molina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they basically said Benji Molina's not coming back. And then lo and behold, you know, 2 months later, Benji Molina comes crawling back when he doesn't find the deal he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very strange.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
you know, the one thing I know a lot of people have had harsh words for Doug Wilson, and certainly we've supported him early and often on this podcast, and certainly in retrospect, this trade, the Jamie McGinn trade, just looks horrible now. Basically, the Sharks gave up a prospect and Jamie McGinn for TJ Gagliardi, who basically is a player that Todd McClellan does not want to play, is the way it looks, at least from our perspective, not having any, you know, definite insider information. I mean, this is a guy who was healthy scratch 2 years, 2 weeks after being traded to the Sharks. It doesn't seem like exactly a great Dan Boyle or Joe Thornton type of trade that maybe we've become all too accustomed to Doug Wilson pulling off. So I guess the question is, how much blame do we put on Doug Wilson? Just a whole lot? Or is this just the vagaries, Daniel Winnick not wanting to come back? Or what do you think this is?
I think until he signs and we know what the situation is, it's hard to put blame anywhere. I mean, maybe Winnick will be as candid as someone like Ray Whitney's been, you know, after signing with Dallas. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, Whitney was fairly open saying, I didn't sign with Phoenix because there is no solid ownership group right now. And he made a comment about how he feels like the Coyotes get completely screwed in their scheduling because there's no owner to go in and fight for them during the scheduling process.
Right.
And he was tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
So bye-bye Ray Whitney. You know, he's out of there. You know, they lose a 70-point forward because they don't have any sort of stability there. If Doug Wilson rejected Winnick and he's the one who cut the cord, then it's absolutely 100% blame Doug Wilson.
Absolutely.
But if Winnick came, he saw, he disliked,
right,
he wanted to leave, or he wants to, you know, really push the envelope here and try and get some sort of crazy contract, then, you know, I guess you can't blame Doug Wilson for not going outside of certain boundaries. What, based on what you've seen so far, I mean, what do you expect? Winnick has not signed.
Right.
I haven't really read anything about him being linked specifically to anyone. I mean, I've read a few teams made some calls, but, you know, this is a player who's still out there. Some of the other guys who are comparable are gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, is Winnick going to get frozen out here?
No, no. You can always use penalty killers. Well, every team needs defensive forwards.
I'm saying, though, as he missed the mark in terms of, you know, some of these guys have signed first and the guys who sign later in that category sometimes get less.
That's true.
You know, so like Jay McClement got 1.5 over 2 years from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of penalty killer, Jay McClement's considered to be the best. Different type of player than Winnick, less physical, but a really skilled PKer. I mean, what do you think Winnick's going to get? Like, how outrageous is this price tag that makes Doug Wilson say, we're walking away?
Well, we don't know what the price tag... We don't know if it is because of price tag. So with that, I'm going to transition into... Because this does dovetail into a discussion about the one player the Sharks did sign, and that's Adam Burrish. An old teammate of Joe Pavelski's, by the way. I certainly remember reading articles in the past about when Chicago's coming to town or Dallas is coming to town, Joe Pavelski's having dinner with Adam Burrish. So those guys are tight. They're friends. They played in college together. He signs for 4 years, $1.8 million per year for a total of $7.2 million. I mean, you have to think that Daniel Winnick is worth more than Adam Burrish, don't you? I mean, it's a $2 million and up situation for Daniel Winnick at this point.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Like, offensively comparable,
yeah.
I think. Winnick probably plays more on the PK, but Burrish probably offers a little bit more in the character department. I mean, this guy is a type of player that the Sharks haven't had in a long time.
It's,
you know,
true.
This is, I mean, I'm trying to think of maybe not as feisty as like a Scott Thornton, but this is kind of along those lines, right?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, this guy is a pain in the ass, and not like a mild pain in the ass like Dominic Moore. Like, this guy's a pain in the ass. He's got a big mouth. He's a great quote.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know you have. What do you say about Chris Pronger?
He said, there's a great video about Chris Pronger. I think we got tweeted it about how he said that there was a Photoshop that someone put up of Chris Pronger. This is back when Burrish was playing for the Colorado Blackhawks and the Chicago Blackhawks, and they were playing Philly, and they said, "Oh well, what about Chris Pronger?" And he said, "Oh, he should have been wearing that dress on the ice tonight. It was terrible." It was hilarious. I mean, what a great thing.
This is the type of guy that I like adding Adam Burrish.
Yeah.
I wish it was Adam Burrish and Daniel Winnick. I'd feel so much better.
Me too.
I think we were talking to each other yesterday and said, if it's Burrish and Winnick, this is a win. Like, this day is a win. One of the best UFA days the Sharks have had. If it's Winnick and Burrish.
Mm-hmm.
Burrish alone, if Burrish is taking the place of Winnick,
not as exciting.
It's not as exciting, and I'm not sure I'd rather have Burrish than Winnick. I don't know, but
yeah, I don't know about
that. I don't dislike the signing of Burrish, and I don't feel like the money's out of bounds. Like, I think, you know, this guy, reading some of the Dallas blogs, their blog on SBN, their beat writer, nothing but good things to say about Adam Burrish. No one was like, could riddance, get out.
Yeah.
Goodbye. You know, what a waste of space. There was even a post on the Dallas Stars SBN blog where they were talking about guys who they thought were locks to re-sign, and Burrish was a lock to re-sign. Like, they thought for sure Burrish wasn't leaving. This was a heart and soul guy. They weren't going to let him go. And lo and behold, he walks away. So I like it, but...
Right.
It is a little, like you said, the bad news, a little wah-wah, because it appears to come at the expense of Winnick, which I still don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it. There, I have to think that there's something else going on here. There's some conversation. There's some feeling that Winnick has that we don't know about, or some feeling that Doug Wilson has that we don't know about. And the sad truth is we'll probably never know what that is or isn't there. You know, it could be something personal. It could be something where... you know, we just don't know. He asked for $3 million and Doug Wilson said, "You're crazy." I mean, it could be any number of things.
Right. Which is why I threw out the fact that, I mean, if he's asking for Joel Ward money, first of all, he didn't have that type of playoff run that Joel Ward had the year that he got that contract from the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he pulled a Jason Garrison, you know what I mean? Like
totally.
He capitalized when he was hot and got that deal. You know, Winnick, you know, scored like one goal in the last 40 games or something, like, you know, doesn't justify $3 million a year. No one's going to give him that.
No.
But maybe he started somewhere crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, someone had posted on our blog or emailed us and said that he heard that Winnick's agent was a kind of a ball buster. So, you know, maybe that's what happened. And is it impossible that if the demands are lowered, they circle back to the Sharks? No. Not impossible.
No.
You know, but it certainly didn't seem like Doug Wilson was holding his breath. Dude, there was something before we get into an email or anything else I want to go over at the Adam Burrish press conference, because Burrish, you know, said a lot of fun things at this press conference, and a lot of people say he's a great quote, and you know, he's going to be that kind of JR factor in the locker room where he's going to say some crazy stuff. Like, and he's not, you know, sort of like Dan Boyle. He might not give you the company line all the time.
Yeah.
He's going to say how he's feeling, you know, maybe that might not be the most popular way to respond. But here's what Doug Wilson said and Adam Burrish said at the press conference. Adam Burrish said this first. He says, Doug talked a little bit about it, just how he wants to have a different mentality and different attitude. Kind of like, we're going to go at you and we're not going to give you too much respect. We're not going to be scared going out there on the penalty kill. We're going to take away your time and space, and we're going to be aggressive. All right? I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
How can you not?
Then Doug Wilson says this. This isn't a negative against anybody else. Listen to the rest. But we're very clear on how we want to reestablish our identity. Not just on our PK, but how we play the game. Bringing Brad Stewart in, we want people that are aggressive, that go at you. That's pretty consistent with what we identified we want to do, and we'll continue to go forward building that type of team.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, based on those two quotes, is that what you want to hear? Does that sound good?
It sounds good to me.
Okay, signing Burrish is a step in that direction. Signing Brad Stewart, which a lot of people are upset about the Sharks not being active on July 1st. Let's be clear. They did get Brad Stewart. It just happened a week earlier. Mm-hmm. But let's chalk that up as July 1st. So if they had signed Stewart and Burrish yesterday, I think people might be saying some different things right now.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
But I'm reading this.
Yeah.
And the only thing that pops into my mind is what?
Patrick Marleau, you suck.
How does Patrick Marleau fit into this quote, dude?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, we want to be aggressive, not against anybody else. Yeah. You might as well say Patrick Marleau.
Not against but any people that we drafted second overall.
This is exactly the kind of stuff I want to hear. This is how I want the Sharks to play. This is what I want to see. But the biggest problem with this is you have this milquetoast in the middle. Patrick Marleau, he's not going to play like this.
No, he's
so
not.
So this is a problem. It's mm-hmm. it's a huge problem with this statement.
Yeah.
So
because that's just inconsistent.
No, it's completely inconsistent with that cornerstone player that you still have on your team. So what do you make of that?
Well, I guess what we make of it is the same thing we made of it 2 weeks ago, is that Patrick Marleau's probably got to go in order for this team to take a step forward. It's not that he's a bad player, but if that's really how he wants to remake the team, he wants to remake the team in, you know, Adam Burrish's image, not as a skill player, but that kind of player he wants. And there's some guys that don't fit into that mold. I mean, and Patrick Marleau is at the top of the list.
He's really... Okay, maybe Hanzus, but I'm not even considering Hanzus being on the team.
Yeah.
And James Shepherd, we don't know.
No.
But Marleau, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't fit into that quote at all. And you know what? Logan Couture really doesn't either. But I think every team that you have to have some skill guys, right?
Of course.
But
you can't have all grit guys.
Man. So,
I mean,
so,
Brad Richards isn't that guy, and you have the right. Tortorella mold
so,
going on
I
in
don't
New
know.
York.
Like, I'm not sure what to read in that. Like, the fact that
I think it reads is actually it goes to an email that we got, and I'm not going to read a whole lot about the email because we got some really pretty cool information from this guy, and I don't want to give it up too much because I don't want to get anybody in trouble or anything like that. But basically, he had some information that, you know, given that this is an email from a stranger, I have no idea how accurate or inaccurate it is. But I'll throw it out there, and maybe this is, you know, me not going to J school. I didn't go to J school. Sorry. I went to E school. But he claims to have some insider information in that there was a bit of a rift in the Sharks, and that McClellan was interested in going after more grit players and Joe Thornton was interested in going after more skill players.
It's a pretty, I mean, this email's fairly detailed and is citing some pretty reputable sources.
Right.
If it's true.
Sources that we can't.
Sure.
That we can't verify.
No, which is why we're not getting too specific.
Too specific about it. But apparently one of the points of the email was that, you know, there's that Thornton wants to get more skill guys and T-Mac wants to get more grit guys. And certainly Adam Burrish is indicative of the fact that the Sharks want to go after grit guys. Right.
Well, so everything that Doug Wilson
everything
said
that
in
Doug
that
Wilson
press conference.
So, That appears to be the situation.
So does that mean we're not going to sign Alexander Semin? Bongos! Yeah. This leads me to another thought, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, there's a name that's thrown out in that email that I'm very appealing, that I find very appealing, which is Brandon Dubinsky, which we've talked about before. And we're going to get back to the Rick Nash thing right now, okay? Mm-hmm. We're waiting for Parise. We're waiting for Ryan Suter, and it may take several days. And, you know, until these guys sign, some of the other major dominoes, Semin, Matt Carl, things like that, are not going to be completed because they're waiting to find out, you know, who's going where, and they'll adjust their plans accordingly. And then the Rick Nash deal will also probably follow because whoever doesn't get Parise is going to jump in and maybe go hard after Nash. Again, should the Sharks just cut out the middleman here and try and move Marleau to one of these teams that's going hard after Rick Nash?
Sure.
Now, I know Marleau has some control over this, right?
A lot. Doesn't he have a no move?
But, I mean, wouldn't you think that this conversation's already happened where The fact that it usually there's Marlowe rumors all the time, like Marlowe to Montreal, Marlowe to Montreal, Marlowe to Montreal. I haven't ever heard that. The fact that it's deadly silent right now on Marlowe makes me feel like the fact he's going to move is imminent. Because Doug Wilson's like a cobra, you know, like he'll strike out of nowhere, you know.
Right, right.
So I don't know. I look at Philly, I look at Carolina, I look at the Rangers, Ottawa, these teams that are rumored to be in on Nash. Some of them have already been rejected. You know, why not offer Marlowe up to one of those teams? Maybe it's happening.
Dude, I completely agree with you. But the thing is, this is just such speculation. There isn't even a rumor, much less an insinuation by anyone that
this
is happening.
This is a podcast. We're supposed to speculate.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But, dude, I have this huge list of free agents that we haven't talked about that have moved so far. I'm chomping at the bit.
Let's get to that then, okay?
All right. First of all, I want to get an email out of the way. This is from JoJo. I'm an avid listener. I have a few questions about UFAs. Do you think the Sharks might have interest in former Ducks prospect Justin Schultz?
Okay, well, first of all, did they have interest? Probably. But Schultz had a very specific list, and the Sharks were never on it.
Right, and he signed for, I have it here, almost $4 million, $3.775.
It wasn't about money. I mean, this was about
he wanted to jump in and be a contributor right away.
Right, and going to Edmonton, he'll play 20-plus minutes a night on that team and grow. I don't fault the guy for making that choice, you know? I mean, probably one of the first free agents to intentionally go to Edmonton. Marquee free agents intentionally going to Edmonton.
Yeah, that's...
Says Sheldon Surrey. That worked out well.
Yeah, we're great. So anyway, yeah, it's unlikely the Sharks were interested in Schultz. I'm sure every team in the NHL was interested in Schultz to some measure, but it's just this wasn't the right fit for him at this point. He wanted to play a lot, and the Sharks just weren't willing to offer him that kind of spot, and they probably weren't willing to offer him that kind of money either. He said, JoJo also says, as far as goalies, we know that Sexsmith was not tendered a qualifying offer, which sucks for him since he did pretty damn well in the AHL. Why isn't DW giving Stalock a chance to compete in the big leagues? Is Niemi even tradable at this point? It's not even October and already I'm stressing over hockey. What's your take on this? We've talked about this a few times, JoJo. I think that the situation with Stalock, and really it's a tough line to tread with all developing players, is... You want to give him that taste for the bigs, but you also want him to play. It's not really going to do Alex Stalock any good. He did just come off an injury. Remember, he didn't even play a full season. I don't think he played until January or February. Mm-hmm. He came off a really serious injury. Do you really want him sitting on the bench for half the year, probably more than half the year, in San Jose? Is that really going to help him progress as an NHL caliber goalie? And the answer to that question is probably not.
Yeah.
So having Alex Stalock on the bench, while it may solidify the depth chart in our minds as to where he's at, it may not actually help him as a hockey player. And so it may actually, the best thing for Alex Stalock may just be to play as much as he possibly can in Worcester this coming year. And that may be the situation. I think Alex Stalock is probably the number two on the depth chart right now. But for that reason, you want him to play. You want to make sure that he's in game shape, that his game is continuing to progress. So that's my situation. Is Niemi not tradable? I think he's tradable. It's just I don't think we're going to get, you know, an amazing amount of assets for him. And do you really want to put, you know, the keys to the franchise in a player that was, you know, had a potentially career-ending injury a year ago? So there really isn't anybody to step up and take it. If we were the Kings, for instance, and we had Jonathan Bernier, I mean, Jonathan Bernier, by all accounts, is this guy who's ready to play in the NHL. I mean, they re-signed Quick for 17,000 years, so it's very possible Bernier will be shipped. But if you had a guy like that who had been a very solid, all-star caliber AHL goalie, was ready to step in, has shown good promise, and is ready to go, then maybe Niemi might be a guy you want to trade. But right now, Niemi's a guy you have to keep, I think.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that right now the Sharks are looking at Niemi as the answer. I'm not sure I feel 100% in that, but...
It is what it is.
It is what it is, and I think your point's well made. Is until Stalock has a full season of good health behind him, then, you know, he's not going to be a true factor on the NHL level right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of where we are, I think.
Dude, I'm going to go to a question right now from Tom. Questions at Dudes on Hockey, of course, is the email address. Tom, a longtime listener and friend of the show, says, quick question, what's your vote for worst contract of this free agency period? This is what I'm looking for, dude. I got this big list of contracts here.
Okay.
Who sucks? Who made a terrible signing? Tom throws into the ring the Sheldon Surrey signed to the Ducks, $3.6 million for 3 years. This is an over 35 contract, so the Ducks are on the hook for this cap hit, regardless of the fate of Sheldon Surrey. Is this the worst contract, dude?
Well, let's roll through some of these first,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll recap best and worst.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Go ahead, dude.
Dude, let's start the bidding at the maybe a more recent contract. Yuri Hudler for $4 million per year.
This is in the running, I think, for worst contract. I mean, this guy did score 20 goals, yeah. You know? But, I mean, I have broken this down before we got Tom's email into biggest winners, biggest losers. I have Calgary as huge losers. I mean, like, now they have the second highest payroll in the NHL.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell are they doing?
I have no idea.
They think they change the coach and they bring in Weidman and Hudler and all of a sudden they're going to be contending for a Stanley Cup. Jay Feaster, I used to have respect for him, and I think he's completely lost his mind. Like, we used to bag on Daryl Sutter for the things he used to do. This is as insane.
This
like,
is pretty nutty.
Things that he's doing. Like, now you're saddled with Hudler and Dennis Weidman in a deal that, I mean, Dennis Weidman is a good offensive defenseman. We like Dennis Weidman, but for $5 million plus?
Yeah.
Like that's a big deal.
Is that
like
in the running too? That's in the running.
That's in the running. Both those deals are in the running. And then they kept some players that, I mean, they kept Corey Saric, who they barely used last year.
Yeah.
And they kept Lee Stepniak. They didn't even let him hit the market. Like,
yeah, I don't get that
either.
Very
bizarre. Very bizarre.
All right, dude. So I put up Hudler. Who you got? What's another bad contract here?
I think the Anaheim Ducks have a few, including, you know, the Surrey one that Tom has. I think Brian Allen's contract in Anaheim is a bit head-scratching.
Not good.
Not that he's a bad player. I think he's a bit of an underrated player, but $3.5 million for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems so stupid. I mean, again, I have them down for biggest losers. Like, they lost Schultz. They've pissed off Bobby Ryan. They gave away Vishnovsky, and they gave dumb contracts to Allen and Surrey. Hooray! Yeah. The Ducks are worse.
Who's the Ducks fan? Yeah.
I mean, they're worse. Like, definitely worse. You know, that stupid. So stupid. You know, they're going to give two older defensemen multi-year deals. Stupid.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in a player that is good, and we talked about it a little earlier, Jason Garrison. He got 6 years from Vancouver, and Jason Garrison was going to be one of the top defensemen on the market. You know, $4.6 million is not an insane amount of money for a guy that had a hell of a year last year, but for a guy that had a hell of a 1 year last year and not a huge amount before that, giving him 6 years at that rate seems like excessive. Is Jason Garrison that bad, or is this just cost of doing business?
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think we know if Jason Garrison's Jeff Finger or if he's a rising star in the NHL. A lot of people think this deal sucks because he played with Brian Campbell, and Brian Campbell had an amazing year last year,
mm-hmm.
and maybe would have made Semenov look like an all-star, you know?
Never know.
So we're going to find out. You know, this has potential to be a really, really awful deal for Vancouver. It's, I think, a huge risk that a team that is still, I think, thinking Stanley Cup goes out and, I mean, some very puzzling moves up there, you know, with trading Hodgson for Cassian,
mm-hmm.
and then this signing, it seems a little strange, but whatever, you know, I wish them nothing but the worst.
You got any other bad contracts, dude, that deserve to be in the in the hall?
I think the Ray Whitney contract is bad.
Two years
for a 40-year-old forward. I mean,
yeah.
Dude, I mean, can you think of many forwards? Now, Ray Whitney had a good year last year in a really tough system to get 70 points in.
Yep, it's true.
But, You know, now he's moving on to Dallas. And that team is...
They're a loser.
They're a loser. Like,
because they made another trade today. Maybe we should just talk about that. They traded Steve Ott and Adam Pardee.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Pardee wasn't playing for them, really.
Yeah, he just signed with them. But for Derek Roy from Buffalo, so they sort of traded like the face of that team, you know, in terms of that's a guy that you think about.
You think Steve Ott. When you think Dallas, you think Steve Ott. And now when I think Dallas, I think... Win.
Derek Roy can't stay healthy.
Oh,
40 something points last year. Not a good year for Derek Roy. I mean, he's young, though.
Don't understand what Joe Neuwendijk's doing there either. I have them in the loser category, too. And they give 2 years. I don't mind the $4.5 million for Ray Whitney, but 2 years?
Like, yeah.
You know, this guy had a great year last year, but it's very possible he could follow it up with a 40-point year, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah,
he could lay a giant steamer here.
It's possible. You know,
as age kind of catches up with him a little bit, and I don't think this makes any sense. I don't know which direction they're going here, or what they're doing, or what the plan is in Dallas. And I'm kind of glad that they seem to have no clue what they're doing. Olli Jokinen got $4.5 million today from Winnipeg. Where's that rank for you?
That's not good. I am not an Olli Jokinen fan. That might be the winner for me. I don't understand Olli Jokinen. I mean, he was so great. He was really good when he was on Florida, and then everybody said, oh, he just needs to go on a playoff caliber team to really show his stuff. Oops. Talk about your all-time backfires. That did not work out for Olli Jokinen. That may be the worst.
I have an answer, dude.
Okay, what's
I
your
have
answer?
An answer. The worst contract? Torrey Mitchell. Torrey Mitchell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Torrey Mitchell, $1.9 million over 3 years.
Got a raise.
Okay. He got a raise for basically like Doug Wilson. He was not part of the solution here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it humorous to read how the Minnesota beat writers were kind of spinning this as a very positive and good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Energy player, lots of speed, which is true. Gritty.
Yeah.
Gritty?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far.
I don't know if I would describe him as gritty. I would describe him as disappointing. And enjoy the collection of former disappointing Sharks up in Minnesota. That's really, if you're Zach Parise and you're thinking about signing, you go, wow, gosh, that... They've got quite a collection of guys who have played for a team that's underachieved.
Yeah.
Nah, I want to come.
Yeah, sign me up.
Sign me up. You know, that's how they're going to like remake their third line is by giving Torrey Mitchell a 3-year deal. Like, what has he done to deserve that contract? Like, that seems so...
I don't understand the raise part.
I don't understand it at all.
And the term, 3 years... I don't know why you locked this guy up for 3 years. What has he done? What has he done for three
years?
He
had one good year. His first year,
right.
We were all very excited about it. And then after that, he's been either hurt or disappointing.
It's too bad.
So I think that it's possible that might be up there. But I'm leaning towards Jason Garrison right now just because I think...
Giving Sheldon Brookbank $2.5 million.
Oh, Sheldon Brookbank's a bad one, too.
That's pretty bad.
There's a lot of bad ones. There's a lot of bad ones, actually. You know,
Sammy Sallow, almost $4 million.
Yeah. Old one nut, Sammy Sallow.
That's rough.
That's a lot of money. There was a lot of bad contracts given out right now. But I'll tell you, I think there's one team that right now, and they gave out a bad contract, too. They signed three guys. One of them, I think, was a bad contract. But the other two, I like. And one of them I really like. I think Colorado's the winner right now.
Yeah.
P.A. Parenteau.
P.A. Parenteau's the good signing.
4 years, $16 million. The best contract that I could find. You know, this guy's, you know, the Rodney Dangerfield of the UFA market right now.
Sure.
Everyone's saying,
you never see him on the Islanders. That's
you
why.
You know, he's only good because he played with John Tavares. And that's the only reason why he had 60 points. You know, okay, well... He's going to get to play with Matt Duchene, so
yeah,
or Stasny, you know. So okay,
he'll be all right.
I think he's going to be just fine. This guy's a young player. He produces. He's produced for a few years. It's a good deal. Colorado got better. I like Greg Zannon, too. I mean,
yep.
You're not going to throw him out there for 24 minutes, but the guy blocks shots. He's one of the best shot blockers in the league. I like Greg Zannon, so I think Colorado got better. You know, they definitely got better. They kept Steve Downey. Definitely a step forward for the Avs.
Yep, they did good. So, dude, let's go to some more emails. I think we have one more. And I think we're getting near the end here, but this is from Eric. While this has not been discussed much in the media, do you guys think that one of the changes we will see this year is getting our top line some easier minutes? Or to say this another way, are we going to actually let our checking line be our checking line? One of the classic McClellan tactical moves is to match out our best against their best. I get where he is coming from and that our top line is good at both ends, but I feel like when we lose in the playoffs, we are always left thinking we got beat by a third line. The media is focusing on the PK becoming more aggressive for obvious reasons, and DW is focused on the team becoming more physically aggressive in terms of a mentality. But getting guys like Winnick and Burrish seem kind of pointless if they are not playing against the top six. If the game plan is to play our bottom six against the other team's bottom six, then it seems like our Wellwoodian line of 2 years ago is a better fit.
That's a great email.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, and it's a great point. And I agree. Like, what's the point? I mean, that's one thing that I don't know if Fear the Finn wrote about this. And I mean, they wrote an email about it, or email, a post about Adam Burrish, and they kind of, it seemed like they backtracked a little bit today and found some positive things to say about him. But, you know, from what I read from Dallas, you know, this was a guy who was out there against some of the other team's better players.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's the point to me. When we saw what Dave Bolin did to the Sharks.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen what Maxime LaPierre and Rafi Torres have done to the Sharks. You know, we saw what the Blues did. Like, although they kind of fought fire with us, but
they didn't have any real fire, though. I mean, they had David Backes.
Right. Well, we saw Paulson and Moen and Niedermeyer, what they did to the Sharks.
Sure.
You know, that strategy seems to work. So I hope that's the way they're going to go, but I have no confidence in it.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to happen.
You don't think so? I mean, like, these quotes, these paragraphs, you know, I mean,
that's about
the
like
the point of bringing in guys like this.
That's about the kind of players they want to get. That doesn't mean the kind of matchups that they're actually going to do. See, I don't see any change in this. They want everybody to play tough and hard nosed. So that means they want Joe and Little Joe to play tough and hard nosed.
I've got
the other team,
dude. I have an increasingly bad feeling about this. Like as it's going, and if Marlow is still here.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling about where this is going, because if Doug Wilson is going to stick to this hard-nosed, this is the wrong coach for this.
The wrong coach and maybe the wrong players.
This is not, you know, you have a core guy. It does not fit into this at all.
Yeah.
You know, and it's concerning, but there's still a lot of time. And I think before we get too up in arms, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
about there not being enough changes. I mean, there's still so much to come with first with Parise and Suter. Dude, any guesses on where you think they're going to go?
I think what we said last week applies just as easily today. Although, I mean, given what Minnesota did, I can't see Parise going to Minnesota. I think I said that last week. That looks less and less likely. It seems like it's going to be Pittsburgh, and it looks like Pittsburgh and Detroit are going to basically swap. Maybe one will get both of them, but it seems like at least one of those guys is going to go to either Pittsburgh or Detroit, or maybe both of them will go to Pittsburgh or Detroit.
Does the longer this goes, the more I get the feeling that it's possible that one or both of them may just stay.
Yeah, where they are.
Where they are, you know, because it was an interesting discussion on NHL radio today where, you know, people are giving Parise and Suter a hard time about dragging this out. And they were like, listen, you know, I mean, if you were making a job change, you know, you need some time to think about it.
Of course.
And I, at first I was like, of course. And then the other part of me was like, wait a second. You know, these guys have been thinking about this for weeks now. You know, you have to kind of know who is going to pick up the phone, and you have run through this with your family, these scenarios, you know, it's not like you're just sitting at home going, oh, I wonder who's going to call me.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that maybe Detroit will call? Do you think
maybe?
Let me call my Uncle Gary. Yeah. What should I do? I mean, there's, there's no way they didn't expect certain teams to pick up the phone.
Sure.
So then for them to be sitting here and agonizing over it, you mean you haven't thought about this? Like, really? Like, the longer this goes, the more I feel like, it, especially with Parise, that he's going to stay in New Jersey.
You think so?
I don't know. Like, Brodeur stayed. Now, Brodeur's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You know? And if Parise stays, then maybe Salvador will stay, and they can...
make another run.
I don't know. I mean, like, I wouldn't expect that they could, yeah, but,
you never
but
know.
No one expected them to make it the first time. I just think if he wanted to jump ship, like, wouldn't he have jumped ship already?
It's possible, but, the other thing is that I think of it, maybe I'm going to think of it more as the player-centric, you know, flip side of the coin, which is, at least with Parise and maybe Suter, both of them, they're probably going to sign long-term contracts, right? They're probably going to sign contracts in excess of 4 or 5 years. So this is really their one shot to cash in, like literally in their careers. I mean, they're both young guys, so you know, everything going well for them and them playing as well as they can play, it could mean when this contract is up, they'll have another shot to go out and earn the big bucks. But this is really their one chance, right? You know, the half-life of an NHL player is not long. They really only have one shot to get this right. Why wouldn't they spend an extra day or two to play these teams off one another a little bit more and try and extract some more money from one of these teams? I mean, this is really your only chance to get this huge payday, to get the 40, 50, 60, 70 million. And it could make the difference of $5 or $10 million, maybe against a backdrop of making $85 million. It doesn't sound like a lot, but $5 million bucks is a lot of money, man. I'll take the scraps. You know, I'd take that leftovers. So from that perspective, it doesn't really... purely from a bargaining standpoint, a negotiation standpoint, this makes sense to me. Especially if you got weird teams like Carolina in the mix, why not threaten to Detroit? Carolina's offering me $10 million a year. What you got? Of course, you have no intention of actually going to Carolina, hopefully.
Right.
Well, actually, this does ask the question. Does Carolina actually have a shot of getting either of these guys?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
I don't think so. I think it certainly looks like a more appealing place to play now that they have the brothers Stahl.
Sure.
You know, but... I don't think so. It's going to come down to, you know, how much does winning factor in here?
Yeah.
You know, the teams that seem to be chasing, the Minnesota, I think, is a definite no. And, you know, Nashville, of those teams, yeah, has the least likelihood, yeah, to win.
And Radulov's gone again. We saw that.
Wants him. What a douchebag. I mean, go away. All right. But... Detroit, I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, okay, how about Detroit adding Jordan Tutu? Talk about one of the strangest.
That's a weird contract,
strangest.
I don't like that contract. That contract looks to me, you got $1.9 million.
You got more than Burrish. I mean...
You got more than Burrish, and it reeks to me of the Jody Shelley contract. Remember when Jody Shelley got 2 years?
Yeah.
And it was immediately bad?
Yeah. This is a weird move, Detroit. Adding this type of player, it's very,
that seems to be very, very uncharacteristic
strange
of them.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. Maybe Ken Holland and Doug Wilson had lunch and went, well, I need to be more gritty. No, I need to be more gritty.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be grittier than you.
And then I do like them bringing back Mikhail Samuelsson. I think that's a good move to replace Thomas Holmstrom. But if you're Suter, you know, and you're Parise, I mean, I would think if you want to win, you go to Pittsburgh.
I know. That's what I think, too. It's
if you
like,
want to win.
This is like a LeBron situation.
If you want to win, you go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Or you stay home, you know.
Yeah.
The other team that seemed to jump in late is Chicago, you know.
That's right. I heard that.
And
that's not a bad call.
And for both those guys, you know, you could go to Chicago. If Parise goes there, and maybe Patrick Kane's on his way out, speaking of douchebags, and if Suter goes, you know, Chalmerson's already rumored to be on his way out anyways, or maybe they would move one of the other guys. You know, that's a lot. Suter, Seabrook, and...
Keith. That's
pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy, you know, so I don't know about that. But, dude, what's to come here for the Sharks? Like, where do you see this going? I mean, give the listeners an idea of what you think might happen in the next few weeks here, if anything at all.
I don't expect anything to happen. Mm-hmm. I'll be totally honest. This whole Marlowe thing, I don't see any noise about this actually happening, which of course could mean it's immediately going to happen, but I just don't see that happening. I don't think Winnick's going to sign. I'm going to take Doug Wilson sort of at face value for that. you know, the Sharks could add another third or fourth line player that we are most likely not going to be that excited about because, frankly, we're kind of watching all of the players that we wanted to watch. I don't really see that happening. So, yeah, I'm not expecting a lot of big things out of the Sharks here in the coming weeks. That being said, they could trade Boyle tomorrow. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Please, no.
Don't speak of it.
Okay.
What about bringing back any of the guys who are out there? I mean, I guess Brad Winchester, Dominic Moore.
The only one, maybe, I think, that could come back. But Brad Winchester, they seem to lose confidence in Brad Winchester near the end of the year and hardly played at all in the playoffs, if at all. And I think Dominic Moore is really the only one to have the shot. I mean, keep in mind, we have the qualifying offer to TJ Gagliardi. I'd be interested to see if he actually gets like a non-qualifying offer contract.
No.
You think he's just going to take
that? Yeah. Well, he probably wants a deal, but if you're the Sharks, you what has he done? You know what I mean? You're not going to lock him up, you know? I guess those are, we haven't talked about the three extensions that happened, and there's also one non-qualifying offer I want to talk about, you know, that, or one qualifying offer I want to talk about. You know, Braun being extended for 3 years, good deal, right?
Seems a good deal to me.
Wingles, 2 years, good deal.
As much as I like Tommy Wingles and he seems like a great guy and I really admire him for doing the charitable works that he's doing, I still haven't quite seen enough from him as a player yet. I can't say I'm super excited about this deal. It's not a lot of money, so I can't get too riled up about it, but I still haven't seen enough from Tommy Wingles.
Desjardins?
Yeah, I like Desjardins.
So
keep him, sure.
I thought the most interesting in the qualifying offers and non-qualifying, we were expecting Ben Ferry to go away, but they qualified Fraser McLaren.
Yeah, that's
but
weird.
Then they did not qualify Sexsmith.
I know. So I guess they said, okay, we can only carry, you know, from a practical standpoint, we can only carry this many goalies.
So if Winchester's gone, I mean, does this mean we might expect that Fraser McLaren might actually be on the team next year?
Possible.
I mean,
anything's possible.
If
they want to go grit, that's the one way to go.
Right.
You know, if they decided this is the way we want the team to go and we don't want Ben Ferriero playing on the fourth line, we want a gritty player to play on the fourth line, well, that's Fraser McLaren. I mean, he's not embarrassing. He's not terrible.
No, he's not, but he also has not been extremely healthy the last couple of years.
True.
I have one more question for you, dude, before we sign off here, as I see we're approaching 50 minutes, but this is the Canada Day.
It's a big day.
Another player that's still out there that, as I read this paragraph from Doug Wilson, I feel like he's describing a player that's out there that is not going to make a commitment to anyone for the next week or so, and that's Shane Doan. Do you think there's any chance the Sharks are in on Shane Doan? They have the cap room, dude. Do you think that it's possible if the Sharks are in on Shane Doan? That, to me, almost changes everything. You add Shane Doan and Burrish and Stewart. Now we're talking about a team that has been remade in their image. And you can almost even tolerate Marlowe.
Dude, I didn't even think about this before, and now I am totally excited.
Do you think it's possible?
I'm totally being honest, by the way. That sounds awesome, actually. I would love Shane Doan. I love Shane Doan. He's a great player, and he could check as many people in the back into the boards as he wants.
He went a little cuckoo in the playoffs a little bit.
You know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing. A little dirty.
This is a scenario that I think we should maybe keep our eye on. You know, this is a guy who, if he doesn't stay in Phoenix, he's been very open about wanting to stay in Phoenix. If it doesn't work out, I can't imagine that phone call wasn't made. Like that if this is that paragraph, you read that paragraph, you may as well just put Shane Doan's name at the end. That is Shane Doan.
Yes.
If you could put Shane Doan on the top line with Jumbo.
Hello.
You just got extremely...
Yeah.
Way better.
Yes.
You know, way better, way grittier, much more character. The guy kills penalties. Him and Burrish together and Brad Stewart would bring, they're talking about a culture change. That brings a whole new culture to this dressing room. A dressing room that has been, you know, considered by many to be soft.
Mm-hmm.
And now wouldn't be so soft anymore.
Yeah, that makes me very, very excited. I'm not going to deviate from my original opinion, which is that Shane Doan's going to stay in Phoenix. He's been with that franchise his entire career. The fact that Ray Whitney left sort of cracks the door a little bit, especially since he was, you know, candid about the fact that the ownership situation is not advantageous
right.
to that franchise in any way. I could certainly see Shane Doan also getting out, but I just don't think that's going to happen. If he is willing to consider alternate venues, I think the Sharks would be idiotic not to inquire about Shane Doan. I think he would be a fabulous addition to this team.
How much?
Oh, 4.5, 5,
yeah,
maybe more.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're looking at Jokinen getting 4.5, Shane Doan gets 5.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Shane Doan gets 5.
Stupid
Jokinen. And I have no problem with that. You know,
he's worth it.
And I think he'd be worth it. And I think, you know, if you're looking at...
But you got to give him 1 year, 2 years tops.
What is he, 35, 34?
If it's a 35 and over contract,
yeah,
you give him 1 year.
I think you'd have to give more than that.
2 years tops then.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it'd be an interesting situation where, you know, Shane Doan might require 3 years. And you know, honestly, dude, I'd do it. I think this is a different situation than the Ray Whitney one where... You know, he's already 40. This guy's in his mid-30s, you know, and still is a very good NHL player. Just something that crossed my mind as I was thinking about this paragraph that Doug Wilson said at the press conference, that I saw some foreshadowing. I think we'd all feel a lot better if that type of move was made.
I'd feel better if we had Shane Doan.
You know?
Oh, man, I'd feel better.
Or, I mean, another player, if Dallas is, you know, going for the skirt and high heels factor and they're looking to move Brendan Morrow, I mean, he's another guy who has had some injury problems, but I certainly would take a chance on someone like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Something to think about.
Is Doug Wilson really think that the moves he's made so far is going to change how the team is? I can't imagine that he's done. If he really wants to bring a new culture to the team, he's got to add at least one more guy, an impact guy who can bring that flavor of grit to the locker room. And Shane Doan's that guy, dude. He's that guy.
Man. And that would be so sweet.
And hopefully, I get the Doan jersey, dude. I get it.
Nice.
I'd rotate it with Boyle. Sweet.
All right, dude. I think we'll end on that note. It's a fun week. There's going to be more moves in the coming week, so we'll be back again, of course, podcasting next week with more Sharks.
That's
and
right,
other
dude.
NHL news.
Zach Parise to the Worcester Sharks.
Could happen.
12-year deal.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.